that we went into these low-flow washers, and it's like I tell people, you know, I don't have a problem with using less water if it can be done well. But
yeah,
the problem,
efficiently, right.
Right, but then how many times have we seen that people put these low-flow stools in, for example?
Well, I'll give a testament to that fact. I lived in a house, we rented a house. They had the low-flow toilets. And I didn't, a plumber, a friend of mine lived across the street, and he told me, he says, oh, no, he said the Fed controls how big the toilets are, how much water is flowing through it. And I got to tell you something. I would keep a plunger by that stool because it didn't flush enough water, and the water flow wasn't efficient enough to take whatever you were trying to flush down the toilet. I don't care if you were flushing coffee grounds with a filter. It wouldn't matter. The thing would plug up.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I've been telling people, you want to get around that problem real easy? Go down while you can still get them to a place that sells commercial plumbing parts from a commercial supply house. Buy a flush meter like they put on the toilets in public bathrooms, and then get you a pressure tank like you use in a home, you know, that's on a well.
Right.
And pump that puppy up so that it has enough pressure, and then put a 2.5-inch main off of that thing and just use that thing for flushing your stool, and you'll get around it real easy that way.
Well, I since moved into a house that has the same size toilet, but it thank goodness that the toilet was designed correctly. And here's another thing. I've had people, believe it or not, build down here in Texas that decided they were buying all kinds of stuff to build homes and everything, and they brought it down here. Well, the toilets were designed to flush one way, but down here, the water goes counterclockwise, not clockwise down the drain, so they had to throw the toilets out.
Oh, man.
Hey, thanks for your call, Sam.
You bet. God bless.
All right. Thanks for your commitment also. Alan, John, Vicki, Sheldon, and others, hang on. We'll get to all of your calls. My guest today is Chris Gerner, which, by the way, is on another network, First Amendment Radio. And what time's that show on, Chris?
That's at 9 p.m. Central for 1 hour.
9 p.m. Central for now. We'll be right back. What they're trying to do with their pseudoscience and their scare tactics out there, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard them. Probably the most recent, peak oil. Don't you know that the planet is running out of oil? No, it's not. We're just running out of the capacity to refine that product. Just as, remember the oil embargoes back in the 70s? That was completely rigged. I mean, we had people that worked in the oil fields, worked out on the platforms back in the 70s, and they sat there and watched the tankers lined up and anchored in the Gulf. They were preventing the oil from coming in, well, so they could use their agenda. And what was one of the things that they did? Well, we've got to conserve gas. Well, they took the double nickel and implemented that on our nation's highways. And I can remember the outrage over that. We had truckers for miles, like an Ohio Turnpike. I was living in Ohio at the time. Hundreds of truckers literally parked their rigs, shut them down, and shut down the roads. People were going crazy all around the country, but now, well, you know, we've had Hurricane Katrina. Well, I'll remind folks of one thing. Hurricane Katrina, ladies and gentlemen, did not interrupt the oil flow into this country. It is still the problem. We don't have the capacity to refine and meet our needs. We've got the internal memos from the oil companies saying this back in the 70s going, hey, look, there's a couple different ways we can do this. Okay, one of the ways we can do this is shut down refining capacity.